today. It's Tuesday, March the 17th, and this is Kathy with the Herald and Review, bringing you articles of local interest and some state stuff, too. As you know, the coronavirus is paramount in the news, so we'll start with that today. It's called, first headline, Keeping a Distance. Businesses see last dine-in customers. Buffett donates to relief effort. Restaurant owners braced for dine-in restrictions. A new wave of closures and cancellations swept the region, and Macon County's most well-known philanthropist entered the COVID-19 relief effort on Monday. Businesses across the state were preparing to shut down their dining areas from the close of business on Monday to March 30th, a directive from Governor J.B. Pritzker aimed at stopping the spread of the new coronavirus. The Decatur Police Department said it would shut down its lobby, though officers would continue to patrol and respond to calls. As containment efforts ramped up, the private foundation of former Macon County Sheriff Howard Buffett pledged up to $1 million for food and medical resource needs to respond to the outbreak. Rural areas like Macon County are likely to experience delayed effects from this global pandemic, but when we do, it will be when state and federal resources are most stretched, Buffett said in a statement. We need to be mobilizing all of our local government and community support services immediately to anticipate those effects and secure the resources we need to mitigate the impact on our community. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf is appointing a resource task force to work with the foundation. Members include County Board Chairman Kevin Greenfield, Debbie Bogle from United Way, and Anya Anricks from Crossing Healthcare. The foundation's commitment targets two areas of support, officials said. Food aid to residents who cannot afford or cannot access the food they need during mandated self-quarantines or social distancing policies, ensuring local health care providers have the critical supplies they need to meet the medical care demands that the crisis may bring. These are unprecedented times, and I have every confidence that we will get through this together, Greenfield said in a statement. Businesses prepare. Alex McCready had the unusual task of working the Monday night shift behind the bar at Decatur Brew Works. It was unusual because the business is usually closed on Mondays. We are open tonight to get in one last hurrah for our customers before the business closes, as required by the state, McCready said. A lot of people came in an effort to support us, he said. It was worth being open. While the job is McCready's primary source of income, he is looking on the bright side of the situation. If it helps stop the virus, it's worth it, he said. In the meantime, we will try to stay healthy and get ready to show our customers how much we appreciate them when we reopen. Customers were also taking advantage of the last day to dine in at Panera Bread on Ash Avenue in Decatur. With only one more day to do their homework in a comfortable corner, the restaurant, Mariah Forsyth High School seniors Hadley Stimler and Lydia Hubbard spent Monday morning with laptops and notebooks open and drinks in hand. We get together here because she lives in a different town than I do, Hubbard said. This is a nice meeting place for us to get together. Students, including Stimler and Hubbard, will not be able to meet in a classroom for weeks. We have e-learning assignments due, Hubbard said, but now we have basically 2 weeks of spring break. We don't have to do any work any day other than today, Stimler said. Along with food, customers often use restaurants' free Wi-Fi. Other meetings, work, or socialization will have to be done elsewhere, including homes. Many restaurants already offer a drive-through option for customers. Others have an area designated for to-go orders. Employers will have to find other jobs for their staff or else send them home. The staff at Downtown Cafe are prepared for curbside pickup only. We will take their order to their car, said co-owner Barbara Ninneman. They can either park in front of the cafe or in the municipal parking lot behind the cafe. Customers should specify when they call in their order where they will be parking. Police Department. Police Chief Jim Getz said closure of the department's lobby, 707 Southside Drive, would last until further notice. This decision was made in the community's best interest as the city continues to consult with public health officials and county and state leaders to assess the rapidly evolving impact of the virus, he said in a statement. Anyone with an emergency should call 911. For non-emergencies and residents who need to file a police report, call 424-2711 to speak with an officer. Decatur Public Schools. Superintendent Paul Fregau announced Monday that Decatur Public Schools staff will be paid through March 30th, the period schools are closed under Pritzker's mandate. Meals for students will be available for grab-and-go between 8 and 10 a.m. weekdays at MacArthur High School, Eisenhower High School, Stephen Decatur Middle School, and Hope Academy. No student ID is required. Some community groups have offered to deliver food to families who lack transportation, but say food handling practices prohibit that, Freehu said. However, groups have also offered rides to families who need them. Teachers and administrators worked over the weekend to prepare learning activity packets, which will be available online for pickup or to be mailed home beginning Wednesday, March 18th. A reminder throughout this school closure, Forgo said. The idea of this extended closure is to put an emphasis on social isolation. As a district, we would like to emphasize this as well and implore you to stay home as much as possible during the next 2 weeks. Also in the headline, Pritzker authorizes remote meetings. Congress works on major aid package. Governor J.B. Pritzker used his emergency powers on Monday to waive a portion of the Illinois Open Meetings Act to allow local governments and other public bodies to hold remote meetings to help control the spread of the novel coronavirus disease, COVID-19. Pritzker lowered the cap on crowds in Illinois to 50. He also announced 12 new cases of COVID-19 in the state, bringing the total since the start of the outbreak to 105. On Capitol Hill in Washington, with an urgency unseen since the Great Recession, Congress is rushing to develop a sweeping economic lifeline for American households and businesses suddenly capsized by the coronavirus outbreak. Democrats say at least $750 billion would be needed. We will need big, bold, urgent federal action to deal with this crisis, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said Monday. Pritzker's order waives a portion of the Open Meetings Act that requires a quorum of members of a public body to be physically present at the meeting location and limits the circumstances under which an individual member may take part by video or audio conference. It applies to city councils, county boards, school boards, and all other public bodies of state and local government. Don Craven, legal counsel to the Illinois Press Association, noted in an email that Pritzker did not suspend other provisions of the Open Meeting Act that require public notice be given of all meetings and that require meetings to be open and accessible to the public and press. He did not suspend the requirement that the meeting be held in a place open and accessible to the public, Craven said in a memo. He did not suspend the requirement that the public be allowed to address the board, which means that there has to be a way for the public to participate by phone. The Open Meetings Act requires public bodies to provide public notice of a meeting, including the agenda, at least 48 hours in advance of the meeting. Craven encouraged all news outlets that cover those meetings to immediately submit requests for notice of any special, emergency, or regular meeting. At the request of State Representative Bob Morgan, Democrat from Deerfield, IPA also drafted possible legislation allowing public bodies to meet without a physical quorum present, while also ensuring that notice requirements, public participation, and public access are protected. In times like these, the role of the local press and broadcasters is more important than ever, Morgan said in a statement. While we need to take steps to ensure that members of public bodies can safely meet to do the important work of local government, we also need to take steps to make sure that the press and the public know about these meetings and are able to listen and participate in these meetings as well. And on the nation, Republicans often reluctant to spend federal dollars did not flinch at the head-spinning number of at least $750 billion as a roster of Americans' big and small industries, airlines, hotels, and retailers lined up for aid. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he wants a comprehensive approach with significant steps for the economy, particularly Main Street businesses. He opened the Senate on Monday with a message to Americans, "The Senate stands with you." The rush to inject cash and resources into the economy is an effort unlike any since the 2008 economic crisis, with political and economic interventions and eye-popping sums to try to protect Americans from the health and financial fallout. Senator Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah, called for sending $1,000 to every American. The number of infections in the U.S. climbed to nearly 4,500, with at least 81 deaths, two-thirds of them hard-hit Washington state. Worldwide, more than 7,100 have died. Senators returned to an emptied-out U.S. Capitol, clear of tourists or colleagues from the House, to confront an even more dire situation than the one they left for a long weekend before Trump declared a national emergency. Pending is the House-passed aid package approved early Saturday, with sick pay, free testing, and emergency food that is endorsed by President Donald Trump and ready to become law. but it's stalled for now, as the Senate waits on the House for technical corrections while navigating its own problems, as some Republican senators panning the package want changes. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who negotiated the package with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, arrived late Monday on Capitol Hill to confer with Senate GOP leaders, saying they were trying to fix the hang-up and turn to the next steps. "We've got a lot of work to do from here," Mnuchin told reporters. All sides, the House, Senate, and White House, agree the pending bill is not the last and not nearly enough to handle what's coming. At the start of the month, Congress approved $8.3 billion in initial aid. Trump quickly signed into law the measure, which provided federal agencies money for vaccines, tests, and potential treatments, and funding to help state and local governments respond to the threat. Schumer floated the Democrats' proposal for at least $750 billion to boost hospital capacity, unemployment insurance, and other direct aid for American households, businesses, and the healthcare industry. Republican senators conferred privately over their priorities. Also on Monday, the White House released a series of sweeping guidelines that for the next 15 days will temporarily rewrite the norms of American society. Trump urged all older Americans to stay home and everyone to avoid crowds and eating out at restaurants. The president for the first time acknowledged that the pandemic may send the economy into a recession and suggested that the nation may be dealing with the virus until July or August. The guidelines were released to an uneasy country. The stock market had its worst day since 1987. America's largest school system shut its doors, and questions remained about the administration's ability to test for the virus and provide hospital space for those who fall ill. Among the new recommendations, over the next half month, Americans should not gather in groups of more than 10 people, schooling should be at home, and discretionary travel and social visits should be avoided. If anyone in a household tests positive for the virus, everyone who lives there should stay home. The administration did not say how old people should be to follow the advice to stay home. "We will rally together as one nation and we will defeat the virus," Trump said. "We can turn the corner and turn it quickly." And an unusual thing is that the editorial comment is on the front page. It's called Our View. And this is written by the editorial board. "In these maddening times, we're all doing what we can and must. One of the most maddening aspects of our unbelievable current world, social and medical situations, is how difficult it is to do the right thing. In addition, even doing the right thing can end up being correct but not beneficial in any way. We unquestionably understand the anger of restaurant and bar owners being told they're temporarily out of business because the governor says so. In a macro sense, that's a significant chunk of our economy that's being put on definite pause. In a micro sense, there are people with overdue bills and not much food in the house. We also acknowledge that Governor J.B. Pritzker isn't operating in a bubble. Every person who's making a decision regarding the virus is relying on input from the collective knowledge. Schools haven't been closed to punish parents. They've been closed in hope that they'll prevent a petri dish spread of coronavirus speeding through communities. Decisions to reduce the allowable size of gatherings were not made to punish theaters and venues that attract significant numbers of people. Pritzker is also certainly aware of the number of voters who will remember this. We've yet to abandon the concept of better safe than sorry. That's a good concept. It keeps us from shoveling snow in our bare feet or driving at night with our lights off. If applied logically and thoroughly, it's going to keep more people from having to fight for room in a hospital. Remember, that's the prime reason for the sacrifices being made. The reward for doing this well is that we get to continue to be a society. There are puzzling possibilities ahead. In the immediate future, which restaurants and bars will carry through on promises that they'll stay open? Will there be some kind of quote-unquote punishment, and what form will that take? Who among us would go into an establishment ignoring Pritzker's edict? How much of a reaction does there have to be before we consider it an overreaction? Government officials are making assurances of financial assistance, but no one has a clear idea of how that will be executed. In the meantime, people on all ends of financial transactions will have to be a little more forgiving of one another. We all must hold the feet of our elected officials to the fire on this one. If everyone is making a financial sacrifice of some sort, it behooves our officials to act quickly and provide relief to those in need. That is what we're supposed to do. We have never been in a situation like this before. We all have to understand there are going to be sacrifices, large and small. More will be demanded of some than of others. It won't be all fair. Your turn may be next. But here's a suggestion on how to help. Ask others if they need assistance. Check on your neighbors and maybe offer them a couple of rolls of toilet paper and some hand sanitizer if you realize you've acquired more than you need. Take care of one another. This is a test of how much we can care about each other. We're so good about it when we're called on. If we can extend our kindnesses to one another through spring, we've again shown the best parts of ourselves. There's little merit in fretting over what lies ahead. Ponder, certainly. Be aware of your world and make plans to control what you can. Be good to one another. And now page 2. Taylorville Restaurant Has Franchise Yanked by Tony Reed. Rosati's of Taylorville, the defiant pizza restaurant that posted a huge window sign that said, "Governor Pritzker, screw you," after the governor announced the statewide restaurant shutdown, has lost its franchise with the Rosati's chain. A letter from Rosati's head office displayed on the Facebook page, which the Warrenville-based company confirmed to the Herald and Review on Monday, was genuine, slammed Taylorville franchisee Peggy Brandon for her juvenile approach. It added, "Because this franchisee does not hold our same values, we have terminated their franchise." Brandon, who could not be reached for comment Monday, had harshly criticized the decision to shutter restaurants and bars from the close of business Monday through March 30th to stop the spread of coronavirus. Drive-through and curbside pickup options remain, but Brandon had said Sunday that losing dine-in business at her 150-seat restaurant would be disastrous. Brandon said 20 employees would be left without a paycheck in an overreaction to a disease that has yet to produce a single case in Christian County. "And yet Pritzker wants me and my servers to go without income for 2 weeks? Is the government going to pay us? Hell no, they're not. Pritzker is a expletive. He needs to go." The letter from Rosati said it had been made aware of the shocking display by an individual at the Taylorville location. It added, "Their disagreement with the governor's position in no way represents our position." And now looking at page 3, office will be closed to public access. The Herald and Review is closing public access to its Decatur office through March 31st as a precaution to keep our employees and customers safe amid the coronavirus outbreak. The customer service counter also will be closed. Billing and delivery questions are being handled through the 800-453-2472 and heraldreview.com website. Our journalists will continue reporting this crucial community story and its impact on residents. In addition, our carriers will continue to bring you each day's paper. We are doing everything we can to keep them and our distribution facilities as safe as possible. Complete coverage about the coronavirus continues at herald-review.com. Visit herald-review.com/newsletters to sign up for our coronavirus newsletter, sent daily at 4 p.m. This headline, Rock Springs Trails Open, State Parks Close. Macon County conservation areas will remain open for nature exploration, although the Rock Springs Nature Center will close until March 29th, officials said. Sand Creek Conservation Area will not be open because of poor trail conditions. At the same time, state officials said Monday that all state parks, fish and wildlife areas, recreational areas, and historic sites are closed until further notice in the latest social distancing measures taken by Illinois officials to combat the spread of coronavirus disease COVID-19. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources announced the closure of the facilities in a news release Monday, noting all events scheduled at any of the sites are canceled as well. The department will work tirelessly with the governor's office and the Illinois Department of Public Health to provide information as to the schedule for safely reopening our facilities, according to a news release. The Illinois State Museum and its affiliated branches will be closed as well. What our patrons love most about our facilities, the opportunity to interact with exhibits, patrons, and staff, also is of greatest concern at this time, Illinois State Museum Director Cinnamon Catlin Leguto said in a news release. "We know this decision is the best course of action to ensure the safety of patrons who visit our facilities as well as our dedicated staff." The museum and its research and collection center, both located in Springfield, will be closed along with the Dixon Mounds Museum in Lewistown and the Lockport Gallery in Lockport. All affiliated locations will close until further notice as well, according to a news release. The museum will work with IDNR, IDPH, and Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration to assess the optimal time to reopen facilities according to the release. Last week, the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield separately announced the closure of its facility to the public. All public events planned at the ALPLM through April 10th are canceled, and additional events may be canceled as circumstances warrant, according to the museum's Facebook page. Social distancing efforts are aimed at slowing the spread of the virus by limiting contact among large groups of people. Pritzker has also issued orders to close schools, restaurants, and bars with a tentative reopening date set for March 31st. There had been 93 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in 13 counties in Illinois as of Sunday, but that number is growing each day, and health experts have warned it is artificially low due to lack of national testing kits. The time for persuasion and public appeals is over, Pritzker said at a Sunday news conference on the spread of the virus. The time for action is here. This is not a joke. No one is immune to this, and you have an obligation to act in the best interests of all the people of this state. Decatur Area Coronavirus Cancellations for Tuesday by Allison Petty. Canceling, postponing, or changing an event because of the coronavirus? Drop us a note at decnews@lee.net and we'll share the word. So these are the events today that are canceled, that have been canceled for the rest of the week. Macon County Continuum of Care Community Breakfast, which was scheduled for Thursday, has been canceled. The Macon County Senior Citizens Assessment Freeze Clinic, scheduled for March 19th, is canceled. The Shelby County Health Fair, scheduled for Wednesday, March 25th, has been canceled. Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur have canceled the March 27th performance of Acapella Live, the April 4th official Blues Brothers Review concert. All Millikan College of Fine Arts events through April 30th, including School of Theater and Dance and School of Music performances, as well as Art Department receptions, regardless of the venue, have been canceled. EIU Comic Con, which had been scheduled for March 28th at Eastern Illinois University's Booth Library, has been canceled. Ebert Fest, which had been scheduled for April 15th through the 18th at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, has been canceled. All public performances at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana for the remainder of the semester are canceled. The Penguin 5K in Fairview Park in Decatur, which was scheduled for March 28th, has been postponed. And attractions. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum campus will close to the public as of Friday, March 13th, and will remain closed until further noticed. The Decatur Area Arts Council has canceled all programming, classes, and events until the end of March. The Ann Lloyd Gallery will remain open for individual visits, but group visits are suspended. The Illinois Gaming Board has ordered all 10 casinos in the state to suspend operations for 14 days starting Monday, March 16th. Mount Pulaski's library will be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and then will close until March 30th. The Mount Zion Library will close beginning Tuesday, March 17th. And a related article, Decatur Council holds off on new police vehicles. Funds would go toward COVID-19 relief by Annalisa Trofimuk. City Council members voted to table the decision to purchase 6 new police vehicles as they consider future plans to help residents affected by coronavirus. Schools and businesses have temporarily closed since the outbreak of COVID-19, leaving many people to question what this means for their daily lives. Decatur officials said Monday during an open session meeting that while it is difficult to make plans that affect the city's budget, they would work on several measures to help Decatur residents. I am in support of any effort we can do to help any small business to weather this storm because most don't have the reserves that they need, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said. The council voted 4-0 to table the decision to purchase 6 new vehicles for the Decatur Police Department, which would cost $320,969. Council members first voted on a motion by Councilman David Horn to amend the resolution so that it would allow for the purchase of 3 vehicles. Motions require 4 votes, and this motion was denied by a 3-1 vote. Council members Rodney Walker, Horn, and Moore Wolf voted for the amendment, and Lisa Gregory voted against it. Councilman Chuck Cooley, Pat McDaniel, and Bill Faber were not present. The decision was then made by the council members to table the decision for a future meeting. Decatur Police Chief Jim Getz reminded the council that they approved the purchase of the new vehicles in 2019 and have not yet received the cars. It could take another 7 to 8 months after ordering the vehicles for us to receive them, Getz said. We are no different than a lot of other cities. I called Springfield and they are still waiting on 20 cars. We will do our best to get this going as quickly as we can, Marwolf said. The decision to accept bids on vacant lot mowing projects was approved by the council on a 4-0 vote. Horn expressed concern, citing their decision to use funds toward vacant lots at the same time the police are being temporarily denied new vehicles. We've just delayed a purchase of $321,000 for 6 police cars, which has a clear potential impact on public safety, and now we are probably committing $350,000 to mow grass on vacant lots, Horn said. I wonder if there's an opportunity to table this again until we have a better understanding of the impact of COVID-19. City Manager Scott Wrighton said he did not recommend tabling it for 2 reasons, the first being that the police department has older vehicles they can use in the meantime. If we don't do this, there's no fallback mechanism to get these lots mowed, Wrighton said. However, in the event that we would need to further restrict funding, I believe we would be able to negotiate earlier terminations with these contractors. Wrighton added at the end of the meeting that the city is working on compiling information to be published on their website outlining help for those in need and impacted by coronavirus. The website would include information about utilities, where to seek help from medical professionals, how to access city services online, and more. The city later this week is planning to close the Decatur Civic Center to the public. Staff plans to distribute information on how to access their online resources for bill pay and other services. A study session scheduled for March 23rd has been canceled. Meetings going forward could change depending on what is communicated by government officials, Marwolf said. What others are saying. Even athletes must make sacrifices. Sports isn't just a diversion for Americans, it's a connection. It binds us as lovers of the double steal, the buzzer-beating three-pointer, the slap shot off the crossbar and into the back of the net. Yes, an evening of sports serves as a salve for a troubling day at work, a bout of boredom, or a breakup. But it also binds us with a sense of community. Sports are personal. That's why the shutdowns that have broadsided America amid the coronavirus, the stoppage of so many sports and sporting events at all levels, pro, college, and high school, has been especially jarring. What do we do now, especially with the kids out of school? You've probably seen the list of cancellations. Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, and the Major League Soccer suspended their seasons. NCAA men's and women's basketball, March Madness have been canceled. Golf's premier event, the Masters, has been postponed, as has the Boston Marathon. The paradox is this latest turn of events is plain. As the country reels psychologically and economically from this galloping pandemic, a towering two-run homer from Anthony Rizzo or a Patrick Kane hat trick could take us away, if for a moment, from plummeting stock markets and the rising tide of coronavirus cases. But allowing large crowds to congregate will only make this crisis worse, and large crowds go hand in hand with major sporting events. Of course we can grope for surrogates. Those grainy ESPN classic broadcasts showing Willie Stargell in his heyday or the forgotten magic of Pistol Pete Maravich may suffice for some, but there's no substitute for a sun-splashed afternoon at Wrigley Field, Vienna beef hot dog in one hand, cold Budweiser in the other. Have you ever stood on Heartbreak Hill, mile 20 of the Boston Marathon, as the world's elite runners fly by like Ferraris, followed by thousands of heaving joggers, 6 miles to fulfilling a life's dream? There's nothing like it. For now, the charge inside of a stadium of cheering spectators are watching from a comfy couch your beloved teams and athletes will have to take a back seat to a priority much bigger than grand slams and game-winning jump shots. Coronavirus poses one of the most alarming health threats this nation has faced in decades. It requires common sense and sacrifice even for the high school athletes whose schooling and sports programs have been suspended. It's the right course to take for the health of the athletes, their parents and siblings, and for coaches and officials overseeing the action. Sport has helped us through national crises before. Following Pearl Harbor, famed baseball commissioner Kennesaw Mountain Landis kept baseball going through World War II after President Franklin Roosevelt wrote him in what is now known as the Green Light Letter. It would be the best for the country to keep baseball going. Americans ought to have a chance for recreation, for taking their minds off their work even more than before. This time, the world of sport can help by staying on the sidelines. Consider it a national timeout. And that's all we have for part 1. Stay tuned. There's more coronavirus information. I'll be right back.